shall bow our head for a short prayer. King of glory, Lord of Lord, the God who loves us and wants us to be like him, we come before you this morning. I pray, Lord, that you use me as your oracle to speak to your children. And may we hear from you. And may the issues of our heart be dealt with as we surrender to your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. We have been looking at a series called Respectable Sins. Oftentimes we see, as Christians, we know what big sins are. We often refer to murders, bank robbers, fornicators, as people who are very big sinners. But we tend to forget that there are little things that we usually undermine, little things that we minimize. They are also sin before God. If you're a visitor here today, or you're a guest, you're worshiping us with us for the first time, I would like to say a very big welcome to you. And I want to welcome you to this big body of Christ. As children of God, as Christians, we see ourselves as imperfect people. That is why we are gathered here today. In the past few weeks, we've always been saying that the church is not a holiday park for Christians, but rather is a hospital for sinners. So as children of God, we recognize that we are not perfect, that we are sinners. We've come together to fellowship with each other, to meet our God, and we agree and accept that he has forgiven us our sins. He has died for us. Our coming together is all about Jesus. We come and we hear about him every day, and he changes us day by day. We are looking at jealousy today. The thing with jealousy is that it's kind of no respecter of persons. Nobody's immune from it, from kings down to servants. Jealousy finds its place into our hearts, every one of us. If you've never been jealous, can I see your hand? But is it something we should really minimize or something we should identify and deal with and put to death? I think jealousy is something we need to identify, and I want to thank you all for your sincerity. No one put up his hand and say he's never been jealous. Like I said, jealousy is, no one is immune. It finds its way into your heart. It's just there. That is how we are. But that is one of the reasons why Jesus died for us anyway. We need to identify it. By the time we identify what are the symptoms of jealousy, how do I know I'm jealous? Put yourself into test. Okay, now I've diagnosed jealousy. Remember, this is like a hospital. We've made a diagnosis, and we all agree that we are jealous in some ways, probably in different ways, but somehow we are jealous. We've diagnosed it. Two things are left. It's either you leave it as it is, or you treat it. If you leave it as it is, you do nothing about it. Actually, there are two ways you can deal with jealousy. Number one, you admit it, you diagnose it that you have it. The second thing you do is to do something about it or do nothing about it. But I think the Word of God, Jesus, wants us to do something about it. Because if we don't do something about it, it doesn't remain as jealousy. It then goes into hatred. It brings about some form of competitiveness. If we look at the Bible verse we read today, we took from Acts chapter 12. This was the time the disciples were going out. They've learned from Jesus. They're not doing great things as they've been taught by the Lord. But before then, the people that had a fame were the Sadducees, the chief priests. You don't do anything without the chief priest. The chief priest was like in the top of the whole temple. You have to come to the chief priest. The Sadducees were the main people. But all of a sudden, the disciples have come. They are now doing great things, and people are recognizing what they are doing in the name of the Lord. People are following the disciples. What's going on here? Does that mean the Sadducees and the chief priests are losing their fame? They didn't like that, and that stirred up jealousy in them. So in some respect, do we find ourselves in the shoes of the Sadducees, in the shoes of the chief priests, maybe in our walks of life, or even in our families, in the church? There is a particular thing you do, you've been doing it all your life, and all of a sudden, a newbie came. Somebody just came from nowhere and is beginning to do these things, and he's been recognized. What are you then doing? Are you threatened in some ways? It's happened to me before. Well, we've had young... Anyway, it's both ways. I've been in situations where I've come to, say, an office where things are done in a particular way. I meet older people, but there are new ways of doing these things with new softwares available in the market, and you try to propose this, but that gets put down. That means I was not allowed to bring in those ideas. But I've also found myself in situations where younger people have come into the scene with better ideas, and these guys are doing some lovely work and are getting recognized, and I have been jealous as well. So in some ways, we find ourselves in this kind of position. I was listening to a popular preacher in America, and he did say something about, he's also a gospel musician. He just had an album released, and the album was doing very well. People were buying it, but all of a sudden, a younger minister in his church actually had another album released. But his ticket seemed to be selling more than his own ticket. People were buying more tickets to see, to listen to his music, to watch his performance. And all of a sudden, this man of God, who like sees himself as a father to the younger artist, was jealous. That's why I said jealousy, no one is immune. He asked himself, why am I jealous? He went back home and was really very sad, but I shouldn't be jealous. I should be happy for him, but it's just the nature. He was jealous. What did he do? I am going to kill this jealousy. The step he took was, he got lots of the ticket for the younger artist and started promoting him and started selling his ticket and telling everyone about it. People saw him promoting the younger artist, but to him what he was doing, he was killing jealousy. He was dealing with the issues of his heart. And I believe that is what God wants us to do similarly. Just imagine, in the Bible, we were talked about we all being different parts, but members of one body. And one body, our head, the head is Christ. If we come back to look at our physical body, look at me, if I use this as an example, which is the example that God uses as well, I've got eyes, I've got nose, I've got hands, I've got legs, different parts of my body, they are all different. Some are, you get to see my face, but there are some part of my body you don't get to see. They all have different functions. But just imagine that different parts of my body were jealous of each other. It will be chaos. There will be trouble. Most times when I put on my shoes are a bit tight, and my legs are struggling to get into those shoes. What does my hand do? Without knowing it, my hand reaches out to help out the leg and fits the shoes on. I get my watch, I want to put it on, my eye sees the watch, but it is the wrist that gets to wear it. The eyes never wears it. What if one day my hand sees my leg struggles with the shoe and say, I'm never going to help you wear that shoes because I don't get to wear it. You know what? Actually, I want my own shoes. Imagine I then have my shoes in my hands and my watch in my eyes. I can't see where I'm going, bumping into things, upsetting people. Sometimes we really pray that God doesn't give us everything we ask for. There is a purpose why God has created you. He has given you an ability. He has given me an ability. He's given Peter. I can't really do what Peter does. I can try, but he just does it in a different way. But it is to the glory of God. That is how God, that is what God has blessed him with, to contribute to his kingdom. I believe we have to learn to recognize that. If we come back to jealousy, it is often confused with envy, but actually they can be used interchangeably. But there is a subtle distinction that make us help to see this sinfulness of our heart. Envy is resent of a person who has an advantage over us. But jealousy is intolerance of rivalry. Jealousy is not always a sin. For instance, when two people are married, they are to be jealous for each other. They are to long for each other, to long for satisfaction in each other. Also, God declares himself to be a jealous God who will not tolerate the worship of anything or else other than himself. We can see that in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. But sinful jealousy occurs when we fear someone will become equal or even superior to us. We see that every day. Apart from what we our Bible text today, we saw the disciples doing great works, and the Sadducees and our chief priests were jealous. And what did that lead to? They put them in prison because they were jealous. That is what happens if jealousy is kept unchecked. One thing it does is it comes in the way of the move of God. God was doing miracles and winning people to his kingdom by using his disciples, but the chief priests and the Sadducees were jealous. And what did they do? Put them in prison. You have to watch that. Jealousy puts a barrier in what God is trying to do. You're standing in the way of God. Another classic example is found in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 18. This is between King Saul and David. Israel was under threat. The Philistine was boasting to destroy Israel. But God raised Joseph, a young man. Joseph went to battle, fought the Philistine, and won. The women gathered and went to Saul, singing and singing, "Saul, you are a great king. You've killed thousands." Saul was very happy about that. But when they sang the second line of the song, that wasn't really very pleasing to Paul at all. "Saul, you killed thousands, but David killed tens of thousands." What did that bring to Saul? He now immediately saw David as a rival. Why would you be giving that kind of glory to David when I, a king, you're saying I killed thousands and David 10,000? Just that one statement, that one line in that song stirred up something that almost destroyed a whole kingdom. That's jealousy. And Saul hated David because he was jealous. At first, nobody knew this. He kept it within himself. That's how jealousy starts. It goes behind the scene. Nobody sees it. But Saul couldn't really hide it for long. He came with a spear at some point and wanted to kill David. But these are all bad examples of jealousies. But actually, it might interest you to see something that happens between Saul's son, Jonathan, and David. Jonathan really loved David, and actually recognized what God was doing in David's life. Jonathan protected David, and if you remember, there was if you read down 1 Samuel, Jonathan actually made a covenant with David, removed his clothes and put it on David. There is a great symbolism there. In the days of old, when a king is to leave the scene, he actually removes his robes and put it on the throne. If anybody was to be jealous here, it's Jonathan, because he is the heir to the throne. But here comes David, who has now been anointed by Samuel. By the instruction of God, Samuel had then anointed David to become king. Jonathan knew this. He should be jealous. But Jonathan knew that this is the will of God, and he's removed his cloak and gave it to David as a symbol to say, David, I accept what God is doing in you. I accept that God is making you king. And also give David his sword to say, I accept that you are not just the king, but you are my king. That's humility. If we also look at John the Baptist, he was about preaching and everybody came around John the Baptist. John the Baptist was like in the center of everything. All eyes were on him. He was preparing the way. But when Jesus came, was John the Baptist jealous? He wasn't. I think like Jonathan, John the Baptist pointed everyone to Jesus, that is the man you should follow. That is the man that I have come to prepare the way for. And John the Baptist knew it was time for him to leave the scene, and he stepped down and said, that man, even his shoes, I am not willing to clean or to lace. So do we find ourselves in positions sometimes, and God is raising somebody else, or somebody else comes along and God blesses them, and their blessings seem to be a threat to us? It's something that needs checking. We shouldn't really be threatened by other people's blessing by the standard of the Word of God. So, by Jonathan doing that to David, Jonathan was set free. He was joyful. He released himself. Because he could not have actually stood on the plan of God. So we too can be jealous if we have been blessed by God in some areas of our life or ministry, and then someone comes along whose performance or results are superior to us. It happens everywhere, even within children, in school. For example, I think in my daughter's school, Ella is in year one now. They had a little teddy that everyone gets to take home. But somehow, not everybody gets to take home. But whoever gets to take the teddy home on the weekend is probably going to take the teddy to Asda. Wherever you go, just take nice pictures, come back and do a show and tell. So within the children, everyone is kind of jealous of the child that gets to take the teddy home, even though everybody gets to take it home in the end. But if you really look at our jealousy, most of the times when we are jealous of others, sometimes the blessing that they just had is not actually greater than ours. We are blessed in a number of ways, but we still want that. What helps me most is to bring God into the picture. I have to remind myself when I feel jealous of others, that he is the one who gives all our talents, our abilities, spiritual gift. It's obvious as we look around that some are better singers than others, some are better writers, Some are more adept at working with their hands. There are also means to be widespread diversity in God's blessings on those gifts. Remember that God, it is God who puts down one and exalts another. It's also being envious of another person, either eliminating God from the picture or accusing him of being unfair. So, at every point in time, no matter how good you do what you do, the best runner has his record broken at some point. No matter how well you play, somebody will come and play better than you. But in all season, always remember that it is not what you do or how you do it that matters. It is who you are in Christ. It is your true identity is in Christ. It is in him that you find fulfillment, not in what you do or how you do it. So, how do we cure jealousy? Jealousy, someone described as a tenant that puts its landlord in prison. If you have jealousy in your life, it's so tiny in your heart, but if not dealt with, you become a slave to it. It enslaves you. It can ruin you. Another classical example is Jesus, who laid aside all his majesty in heaven. He came down to earth to die for us. We were meant to die, but he took our place. He was beaten and bruised by those he came to die for. Why did he do that? Because Jesus loved to see people get more than what they deserve. And that is one thing you and I, we are not good at. And that somehow is the foundation of jealousy sometimes. He is not supposed to have that. I should have it. He doesn't really deserve it. I deserve it. We don't deserve to be saved. But God saved us. Jesus died for us. That's a classical example. He likes to see us get what we don't deserve. And so also, we should love to see people to get what they don't deserve sometimes. My eyes should learn to see my wrist wear the watch. You see, if my eyes celebrate the beauty of this watch on my wrist, even though it doesn't get to wear it, my hands help the shoes, my leg to put on the shoes, even though my hand doesn't get to wear it, but they celebrate with each other, they work together to make this beautiful suit on my body. My chest can't wear, my shoulders can't just wear the suit. It needs my eyes to see it, and my hands needs to pick it. My leg needs to walk towards it. This is how we should treat ourselves in the church, and this is how we should see everyone. So, the next time I get a new watch, maybe that's what I'll get for Christmas, I don't know. I am telling my eyes now to learn to celebrate my wrist when my wrist wears the watch and not be jealous. My legs are also listening and they know that they have to celebrate with my wrist. That is how we kill jealousy. We have to celebrate with each other. I'd like you to ask yourself two questions today. When something really good happens to your neighbor, your friend, your brother or your sister in church, how do you react to it? Does it make you happy, really happy, joyful? Like Jonathan not being selfish or not being jealous, even though he knows David is coming to become king when he's supposed to be the heir. So, does the happiness, the blessing of God on someone else makes you really happy? If the answer is no, we will all together. That's why we are here. Ask God to help us. It's a little issue of the heart that we are all guilty of, including myself, especially me, to be honest. Number two, are you really happy with what you have? Are you content? You see, one thing I have come to realize is all the respectable sins we have been looking at over the last few weeks, they are all interconnected. If I'm jealous, what does that mean? It shows I am not grateful. I'm not content in what God has blessed me with. Because if I really look in my life, if you really look in your life, there is so much to be thankful for. There is so much to be grateful for. If I am jealous, it means I am thinking of myself to be better than the other person. Whereas the Bible says otherwise, that we should actually be humble. We should not think of ourselves as above any other. But jealousy says otherwise. No, I am better. I deserve that. I should have that. But in the big picture, what is everything supposed to look like? We are supposed to understand that God is doing a work and putting everything together for his glory. Every blessing that God has given you is for his glory. I really like the way Peter looked at the message last week. He talked about what do we do to stop upsetting others. You know, is there any way we can try to live our life or behave differently so others are not upset? In the same way, I would also like to ask, the Bible says, if eating food will make my brother fall, I'll probably not eat that food. Is there any way we can actually behave when God blesses us to help others not to be jealous? It could be, I don't know, the way we display things on social media, or if there's any way we can help as well, I'm sure we should. The issue of jealousy, God wants to deal with it so that we can be more like him. Another way to combat sinful envy or jealousy, especially when it comes to other believers, is to remember that we all are one body in Christ, individually members of one another. So we should outdo one another in showing honor. In Romans chapter 12, chapter 12, 5 and 10, we see that. Instead of being envious of those who have some advantage over us, or jealous of those who may have overtaken us in some ways, we should honor and applaud them as members of the same body. Finally, it helps to remember that spending emotional energy or envy on jealousy can blind us to our place in God's plan. God has a plan for you. You have a place in God's plan, and he has blessed you accordingly to that purpose that he has for your life. We should all be grateful for what God has done for us, and we should also be grateful and celebrate what God is doing in the life of others. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you because we know that you are a great God who is not partial. We thank you for your word that has come, and we pray that you help us to be grateful for all you've given us, to celebrate you and to celebrate with other people that you have blessed in different ways. In Jesus' name, amen.